Crazy Rich Asians by Kevin Kwan. Perhaps someplace in Chinatown? Ormsby sniffed. These foreigners had wasted enough of his time. Felicity went back to where her younger sister Alexandra Chung stood guarding the luggage.
Finally! I can't wait to take a hot bath, Alexandra said eagerly.
Actually, this odious man is refusing to give us our room, Felicity said, making no attempt to hide her fury.
What? Why?
Alexandra asked, completely confused.
I think it has something to do with us being Chinese, Felicity said, as if she didn't quite believe her own words. Come, Sawyer!
Alexandra exclaimed.
Let me talk to him. Living in Hong Kong, I've more experience dealing with these types.
Alex, don't bother! He's a typical Ang Mo Gao Sai! Eleanor exclaimed.
Even so, isn't this supposed to be one of London's top hotels? How can they get away with this sort of behavior?
Alexandra asked.
Exactly! Felicity raged on. The English are normally so lovely. I've never been treated like this in all my years of coming here.
Eleanor nodded in agreement. Even so. Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert T. Kiyosaki. I had two fathers, a rich one and a poor one. One was highly educated and intelligent. He had a PhD and completed 4 years of undergraduate work in less than 2 years. He went on to Stanford University, the University of Chicago, and Northwestern University to do his advanced studies, all on full financial scholarships. The other father never finished the eighth grade. Both men were successful in their careers, working hard all their lives. Both earned substantial incomes, yet one struggled financially all his life. The other would become one of the richest men in Hawaii. One died leaving tens of millions of dollars to his family, charities, and his church. The other left bills to be paid. Both men were strong, charismatic, and influential. Both men offered me advice, but they did not advise the same things. Both men believed strongly in education, but did not recommend the same course of study.
Rashomon by Ryonosuke Akutagawa. With all the stealth of a lizard, the servant crept to the top tread of the steep stairway. Then, hunching down and stretching out his neck as much as possible, he peered fearfully into the upper chamber. There, he saw a number of carelessly discarded corpses, as the rumors had said, but he could not tell how many because the lighted area was far smaller than he thought it would be. All he could see in the dim light was that some of the corpses were naked, while others were clothed. Women and men seemed to be tangled together. It was hard to believe that all of them had once been living human beings, so much did they look like clay dolls, lying there with arms flung out and mouths wide open, eternally mute. Shoulders and chests and other such prominent parts caught the dim light, casting still deeper shadows on the parts lower down. The stink of the rotting corpses reached him, and his hand flew up to cover his nose. But a moment later, the hand seemed to forget its task when a powerful emotion all but obliterated the man's sense of smell.
Thea Stilton and the Mountain of Fire by Geronimo Stilton. The Thea sisters' adventure began simply with a phone call. It was for Nikki, and it came all the way from her home in Australia. The call was from Nikki's grandmother, Naya. Naya was an Australian Aborigine.
Nikki, I'm so sorry to bother you, Naya said. But your parents are traveling, and I can't get in touch with them.
Nikki's whiskers quivered with worry. She'd never heard her beloved grandmother sound so stressed.
What's wrong, Naya? Nikki asked.
Strange things are happening at the ranch, Naya said. The sheep in the middle pen are sick.
Have you called the vet? Nikki asked.
Yes, but he can't seem to figure out what's wrong,
Naya replied.
I just don't know what to do.
I'm coming home to help you, Naya, Nikki vowed. I'll be there as soon as I can.
Nikki hung up the phone and immediately started packing. The Mark of Athena by Rick Riordan. Raina was forcing a look of courage,
while holding back a mixture of hopefulness and worry and fear that she couldn't show in public. Annabeth knew that expression. She saw it every time she looked in a mirror. The two girls considered each other. Annabeth's friends fanned out on either side. The Romans murmured Jason's name, staring at him in awe. Then, someone else appeared from the crowd, and Annabeth's vision tunneled. Percy smiled at her. That sarcastic troublemaker smile that had annoyed her for years, but eventually had become endearing. His sea-green eyes were as gorgeous as she remembered, his dark hair swept to one side, like he'd just come from a walk on the beach. He looked even better than he had 6 months ago, more tanned and taller, leaner and more muscular. Annabeth was too stunned to move. She felt that if she got any closer to him, all the molecules in her body might combust.